Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, a broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad editor, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. National Mortgage, you know, the Rocket Mortgage is what you need, son. A little rocket on. Get it on, son. It's with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion show. Get up, should do bad. Oh, my friend, they come around, flat to fly to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should you be? Shake out who? Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. So, Carver High, you made it back from Vegas in one piece, it looks like. You recovered. Is Hot Nicole mad at you still? Or
She was never mad to begin with.
She's good?
So, yeah. Honestly,
did young Olivia, did she remember you?
Yes, she did. You know, look, it was.
Was she excited to see you again?
Yeah.
Did she get all excited when she saw you?
Yeah.
And then, how do you feel now? You feel normal?
I feel good today.
It sucks that we can't play free bet blackjack tonight.
Yeah, that's become an after the show staple out in Vegas, but unfortunately, no. It is what it is. We didn't come away as big as we did last year, that's for sure, with the such a miserable football game that happened yesterday.
It was miserable.
It was a miserable game. There was just no way to cut it. I mean, I said, you know, last night on Twitter, I go, you know, I've seen a lot of bad Super Bowls in my day. I watched my team lose four of them in a row, including one of them 52-17.
Right.
And that yesterday was still the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was just...
Bar none.
It was just... I mean, I heard all this today. Well, you don't appreciate good defense if you didn't like the game. Look, I'm sorry. It's just sitting there for 4 hours watching a 13-3 game where neither team was doing anything. It was boring.
There's really no arguing it.
It was awful.
Anyone trying to sell you that was a good game is imagining things.
And this is not an anti-Patriot thing, please. All the credit in the world to the Patriots. Congratulations. You guys win every year. I'm so over it. I don't care anymore. I just wanted to watch a good football game.
A good game.
I wanted to hit some props. You can't really hit many props when nobody's doing anything in the game. You know, all those props are based on, like, people moving the football, and nobody was doing anything.
Right.
So it just made the game worse.
I got lucky. I hit props, and I hit the money line, and I hit the spread. So that's all that matters. Mafia, you were on the Patriots as well.
I was. I thought they were going to win the game. I was trying to talk myself into the Rams all week, wanting them to win. But I thought the Patriots were going to cover, especially when it stayed under that three. When it got to three, I was hoping it would go up to 3.5 and I could jump on the Rams. But it never did. So I actually didn't even bet. Even though I thought the Patriots were going to win, I bet the under because I thought that was going to be that. I thought it was going to be in like the low 50s at best, like somewhere in the 20s they were both going to have. But that didn't even go. But I hit the bet at least. And then.
So you hit all three, the under, the money line, and the spread.
Yes. Well, so I bet the under, but I hit all three, and I hit, like, a bunch of prop bets. And then I waited till the end game when the Rams got teased up to, like, 5.5 and bet that so I didn't have to root for the Patriots, but that one didn't go well.
Yeah. So I'm just glad I hit the bets because for everybody on PharrellOnTheBench.com and everybody on Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast, Carver High, as you know, we did it for a week from Vegas, and I was selling that Patriots.
Yeah, you were on the Pats all week. They came through.
So you and Gambling Kenny, basically every prop that you had, you're telling me like none of them hit?
No, I hit 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10, and the 10 that I did on Friday night.
So the sheet of integrity for
Sheet of integrity was 4 out of 10. Hiding from the sheet of integrity. It's out there. It is what it is.
But that's not that bad.
Well, it's not that bad because I actually then, this morning when I had a little bit more, I had a little bit more feel for it.
A little time to absorb it.
And really go by the dollar to it.
Right.
Three out of the four that I hit were in the plus category. So they were plus 120, plus 130, right. So I had a couple of those.
Did you like the one that I hit where it was one of my favorites is the team will start inside the five?
Yes, and that happened several times during the game. The only four out of the sheet that I hit was the over 48.5 on the longest field goal, which we talked about all week.
Right.
Edelman over 7.5 catches was an absolute slam dunk early in the game.
Right.
I was upset.
So why did not?
I don't know why James White was on. I don't know why they didn't use him the whole game. But sure enough, you never know with the Pats. We hit. I don't know how this hit, but the Golden Knights only scored one freaking goal on Saturday night down in Florida against the Panthers.
Right.
And we needed Jared Goff to not have a rushing attempt.
And he never did because every time he was behind the line of scrimmage.
He ran behind the line of scrimmage. It counted as a sack, so it didn't count as a rushing attempt. So we got lucky on the Golden Knight comp prop bet. And I forget what the fourth one was, over 1.5 interceptions in the game. So that late interception by Goff got us that second interception.
That was a really bad pass.
Awful pass.
Adam Rangel joined us in around 7.5 minutes from NFL Network. Later, Dick Hoops Weiss, legend, will come on the bench to talk college rack. So the Pats win their sixth Super Bowl. They tie the Steelers with franchise number six. The NFL awards were handed out Saturday night with Pat Mahomes winning MVP, Aaron Donald second consecutive Defensive Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley edges out Baker Mayfield for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Does anybody disagree with that thinks that Mayfield should have got it over Barkley? I've heard the argument that, the guy won seven games. He put up some crazy numbers as a rookie quarterback. The other guy put up nice numbers but never won.
Unfortunately for Baker Mayfield, this award is about offensive stats. It's not about wins and losses. The Offensive Rookie of the Year. And for all 16 games, Saquon Barkley was better than Baker Mayfield. It's that simple.
And he played the whole season. I mean, he had great numbers just about every game the whole season. Mayfield had some good numbers for most of the season, but he didn't start the year. So he had that couple game advantage on him.
The newest class of the Football Hall of Fame are Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, Kevin Mawai, Ty Law, Johnny Robinson, Gil Brandt, and Pat Bowlen. I think that we had predicted on this show that Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, Ty Law, Gil Brandt, and Pat Bowlen would make the Hall of Fame.
We were pretty close on it this year. Yeah, I think we got just about everybody.
I was wrong on Kevin Mawai and Johnny Robinson.
I felt the offensive lineman between Mawai and Faneca, those guys, whatever.
I didn't put any of them.
Pick one out of a hat. I mean, who cares?
The Lakers have upped their offer. I told you on the show Friday night that the offer was terrible. I said, I want Ingram and Kuzma in the deal and Josh Hart and a number one, and I want the big fella. What's his name? I always forget his name. The guy from the Warriors.
Zizek?
The guy from the Warriors.
JaVale McGee.
AD has allegedly increased the number of teams he'd be willing to sign long-term with, to include the Bucks and Clippers, with the Knicks and Lakers. So the new offers, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, right? And
Lonzo.
Two number ones and Lonzo. Lonzo's fat mouth father said that he doesn't want his son going to New Orleans. He wants his son to play in Phoenix, and no one cares what you think. They'll ship his ass wherever they want, and there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing you can do about it. If you don't like it, quit. Quit the league. Quit playing.
I guess he's come out and started talking again because he knows his son is going to be out of L.A. soon. So whatever the Lakers told him to do, he probably feels he doesn't have to listen anymore because he's going to be out of town.
Right.
And why would they ever listen to that dude?
Well, here's what's going to happen when he goes to New Orleans. They're going to tell him the same thing. Stay away. You're not welcome here. Tell your dad to stay away. He's not welcome. That guy's not going to be welcome in any NBA community at all because he's an asshat. Right? I mean, let's just face facts. PharrellOnTheBench.com once again hit the biggest game, just like Philly last year. New England hit to win outright, plus the spread. Tons of props hit. Now it's hoops and hockey time. Get the best picks. PharrellOnTheBench.com. NBA, every play. College rack, all the biggest ranked and unranked games. NHL, every play. Boxing, MMA, all the big fights. Daily fantasy. Sign up today. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Pharrell on the Bets tomorrow, episode 139. Pharrell on the Bets. Subscribe free. You can listen every day, Tuesday through Sunday. It's a half-hour sports betting show on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere good podcasts are available. Subscribe free, like I said, and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. New episode tomorrow drops 6:30 a.m. Eastern. And the show, like I said, runs Tuesday through Sunday. Check it out, Pharrell on the Bets.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Adam Rank with NFL Network joins us fresh off of being at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Of course, we were in Vegas for the last 8 days. How you doing, Adam?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How is everything down in Vegas and our friends down at the D?
Well, I think that there's a lot more damage in terms of, you know, physical and mental damage with us as opposed to you being at the Super Bowl. You probably had a busy, eventful, fruitful week of colleagues and big-time NFL network experience. And then we, on the other hand, had an 8-day lesson in debauchery, nudity, violence, gambling, drinking, and smoking.
Yes, I think I would have preferred what you guys were doing, hanging out with everybody, with Derek and David and all those guys. I'm sure that you had a much better time than I did.
Yeah, I mean, all things being equal, Carver High and I partied hard, and your boy Carver High was hitting the felt like a champion on that free bet blackjack. He had his swerve on. I mean, what did you think of that miserable football game? Honestly, let's get down to business here.
You know, it was a little bit of a disappointment. And to me, it's kind of like when you've invested yourself in a television series. Like you watch Dexter and the finale comes on and you know it's miserable, but you're going to still watch it because I've invested so much time and I kept waiting for something eventful to happen and it never did. And I'm not trying to be too much of a have too much recency bias, but I think perhaps because we've been so spoiled with so many great games over the last handful of years that you're like, ugh, this one just stands out like a sore thumb. And I think that anybody, I know there were a couple of haters after that Monday night game with the Chiefs and the Rams were like, oh, I like games with defense, whatever. Well, I hope you're happy now you killed Joyce because you got the game that you obviously wanted.
There is no one that should be allowed to say that and not be put in federal prison. I don't want to watch the Super Bowl, thanks. What game it reminded me of, to be honest with you, was the and most people probably never saw it because they're too young or something. I don't know. I know guys that are my age remember is when the Steelers beat the Vikings in New Orleans outside at like Tulane Stadium. Remember that crappy Super Bowl?
I've read about it historically, yes. I'm not of the age to have been able to see that game, but that's exactly what I thought of. And it's one of those things, like when you look at all-time Super Bowls, and that one just kind of sticks out. Like, what a weird Super Bowl that must have been. What was it, 16-6 or something like that?
Yeah.
It was 2-0. 2-0 at halftime. I'm like, I'm glad that football has evolved past that. And then Sunday, I'm like, oh, I guess we have it. We're right back there where we started, apparently.
What did you think, Adam Rank of NFL Network? What did you think of Edelman's performance?
You know, I thought it was pretty remarkable. I thought that he's the steady hand. I've taken some time over the last couple of weeks comparing the two halves of the Patriots dynasty. I think you have pre-Gronk and post-Gronk, and you kind of compare those teams, and you see some similarities in the players because Edelman kind of reminds me of a guy like Troy Brown, who's a versatile player who can return punts. If you ask him to go out there and play defense, he'll do that, but he can also go out there and make the tough catches. And I think now Edelman has kind of established himself as the premier Patriots receiver of this dynasty. Obviously, Randy Moss had some great years there. But I think of the totality and the length and everything like that for this championship run, 3 out of 4 Super Bowls or whatever it is right now, I think that he's kind of stood out. And I think that he's now the benchmark for the Patriots receivers. So I think that what he did was absolutely tremendous, and he truly deserved to be the most valuable player.
So what about, everyone said that Sean McVay is a genius. Apparently, that is now, it's like having egg whites for breakfast.
Yeah, and everybody, I think everybody who hired a Sean McVay clone in the offseason, everybody who was hiring Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury and the other guy, Matt LaFleur, you know, you're kind of like, ew, you know, because this is, and I don't want to say, I don't know if it's so much McVay as it is Goff, but it was kind of a disturbing trend that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, or at least the last month. And it goes back to that Detroit game. Now, Detroit kind of gave the Rams some problems. Matt Patricia, of course, the defensive-minded head coach of that team, kind of found some ways to slow the Rams down, but really didn't have the personnel. But the teams with the personnel, the Bears, the Eagles, went out there and really clubbed them. The Rams were able to kind of get their mojo back playing the Cardinals and the 49ers, because those two teams are just like enhancement talent, who just, they're the Washington Generals of the NFL this season. But, you know, they struggled again with New Orleans in the playoffs. And so I look at this, and at some point in the future, Sean McVay's got to start addressing this and start making some adjustments, because even though the Patriots didn't play their best game, at least offensively, he's got to find a way to make some adjustments. And I think we also need some clarity on what was happening with Todd Gurley and the usage with him. That kind of stuff stands out to me. So I know I don't want to make the Rams feel even worse about the performance they just had, but I have some legitimate concerns about them.
So Adam Rank with us, NFL Network. So it really is amazing what they've accomplished. 6 Super Bowls, Brady 6, and that he's played in 9 Super Bowls is crazy. And what Belichick's done is unmatched, unequaled. It really is crazy what they've accomplished. But I thought the key to the game was the whole game they averaged almost 5 yards a play in the first 50 minutes. And then on that drive that sealed it, they averaged close to 14 yards a play. And then once again, it was Edelman and Gronk. Gronk on the floater down inside the 5 to the 2-yard line. He makes the big plays, always makes the big catch, always. And it was, to me, it was game over.
Oh, 100%. And that's the one thing about Brady. You can say what you want about him not looking his best. He's a 41-year-old dude. He's like the guy when you go play pickup. And there's a guy out there who plays, he's probably got like a gray beard, doesn't play defense all the time, kind of not really into it. But when you need him to nail a 25-footer, he's out there draining.
Hold on. Mafia, who does that remind you of? The guy with the gray beard that can hit a 25-footer?
Yeah, he just describes you on someone who doesn't play defense, but if you need a shot, he'll hit it.
But if you need a big shot, he'll hit it. Who's that, Mafia?
That's you.
Thanks. And listen, wait a minute. Let's add, who gives you a hard foul when you need it?
You do.
Thanks. All right, so I'll hurt someone, I'll hammer someone, but I'll hit the game winner. And, yes, I try not to run or play defense for most of the game.
Yeah, it's game recognizing game right there. Yeah, that's you're the savvy veteran now, and I think that Brady has earned that currency to kind of be that guy, just making the big plays and making that throw. I think the throw that he made to Gronk was good. Gronk really did make an exceptional move on that to go and get the football. But you saw, you know, when the Patriots just kind of lined up and they ran the same play over and over again, but it just went to different guys, and the Rams were unable to adjust and kind of counter for that. And that was really basically the whole game. And it's just one of those, again, it was just kind of a coaching clinic out there, like Belichick is the dad playing pickup against his son, bodying him all over the yard and eventually going out there and winning when he needs to. So that's, I guess we should have seen that coming, but I thought I had higher hopes for McVay, so I was kind of caught off guard by that.
So, do you think the Steelers are considering using a transition tag on Le'Veon Bell, so they would have the right to match any offer that he gets? Let's say hypothetically, someone makes him an offer, let's say like Miami, and then the Steelers match it. Will Le'Veon Bell sit out again the entire year to, front that move? Because obviously they have the ability to do it. Why not do it? But then again, if he's never going to show up and play and do the same thing again and, like, quit playing pro football, it's not a smart move.
Yeah, at some point you got to suit up and play. And I know that you don't want to play for the transition tag. And I know that, you know, the players have a legitimate gripe. You know, there are some rules that are unfair, but unfortunately those are the rules of the CBA. And if Le'Veon Bell, you know, wants to play football and the Steelers to make such a move, he's got to go out there and suit up and go out there. But I hope the Steelers just have the presence of mind. And I think for the best interest of the NFL is what I'm kind of thinking about as well, is just, let's just everybody move on, you know, let Le'Veon Bell go out there and find the team that he wants to work with. I think that Miami would be an interesting, I think Miami would be a lot better, because I think that what the Dolphins were able to do hiring Flores as their coach, you know, if you're sitting there, if you're the Bengals today and you have the Rams quarterback coach, or if you're the Dolphins and you hired Brian Flores, who was the de facto defensive coordinator for that team. Which organization feels better about the hire that they just made? So I know that's off topic of what you're saying, but I think that Le'Veon Bell at some point, if he wants to play football, just needs to suit up and get it done.
So Brian Flores goes to the Dolphins. Zach Taylor ends up the coach of the Bengals. What do you think of that move?
You know, I really like Brian Flores, and it's weird because he's 37 years old, and now when you look at the age of all these coaches, 37 now seems old. It's like, what took you so long? Like, how have you been slacking that you reached the ripe old age of 37 to finally go out there and get a gig? But you know what? You look at what he's been able to do, won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots. He served as a defensive play caller this year. He has 11 years here in the NFL, and I think that, you know, again, going from pedigree and coaching, you know, acumen, I think that coming from this Patriots team, even though it hasn't really worked out for guys like Matt Patricia, but I think Bill O'Brien's been okay. I think Brian Flores is going to be one of those guys who kind of reverses the trend and is really one of these up-and-coming guys, and I think he's going to do a pretty amazing job in Miami. And with the thing, and you know, with everything that's going on with Cincinnati, Zach Taylor at least is something different from what they had with Marvin Lewis. But you look at Taylor and you look at all these other guys, and it's like going to Costco and you're buying the Kirkland brand, and you're like, okay, it's not quite the name brand, but it's similar, so we'll give it a shot. Hey, sometimes it works out. The Kirkland coffee is great. I don't know about the Kirkland underwear, but, you know, sometimes Kirkland can be just as good, so I don't know what the big deal is.
Listen to him, Adam Rank. Last but not least, the Pats are favored again to win the Super Bowl next year. Will they win their 7th? Who will they play in the Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I think that the one thing that we can see out of the NFC is it's just a revolving door. It's kind of like Hulk Hogan during the 80s where, you know, they would find a heel to go face him every year. One time it's King Kong Bundy. Maybe it's The Rock, Don Morocco. Who knows? But I think next year, as a biased person, I think that the Bears are going to follow that path that the Rams took of taking that next step. They went out there. They played in a playoff game, lost, but I think a full season with Mac there and getting that offense and Mitch Trubisky getting another year of developing under Matt Nagy's system. I think the Bears are ready to make that next step, and I think they're going to be the ones who challenge. And, of course, the Patriots are going to be back. I mean, like, that script is already written. So I think it's going to be the Patriots. I think it's going to be the Bears. And I think, listen, why not? I say the Bears beat them. Whatever. It's February of 2019. Let's get crazy.
There you go, Adam Rank, NFL Network. Great job, Adam. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
The pleasure was all on this side of the phone, and I swear to you, I will meet up with you in Las Vegas one of these days.
See that? I'm surprised you didn't go this time. There he is, Adam Rank.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. I'm watching. I don't even know why I'm watching anymore. Texas Tech on West Virginia. 56-24, Texas Tech in Lubbock putting a beat down on Huggy Bear.
Good effort by the Mountaineers tonight, huh?
Nice.
Nice job with a 24 spot here.
Did you see the game the other day that, like, North Carolina State played the whole game and scored 24 points?
Speaking of college basketball, just because I saw this morning, I didn't even know it happened over the weekend. Because
right.
Once, you know, everything was going so fast over the weekend, I had no idea that this happened.
Right.
Me and you sat at the hot tub on Friday morning before the show, and we looked at each other and we were like, how about our boy Doster last night telling us that Indiana had a chance to beat Michigan
State?
We were like, they're not going to beat any of those teams that they play. Sure enough, over the weekend,
they beat Michigan
Indiana beats Michigan State. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. It's amazing.
You're telling me. I watched the game. I almost fell over.
I couldn't believe it when I saw the score.
Well, they had the last shot in regulation, too, and missed it and had to go to overtime at the Breslin Center and win that game, and they did it. Could you even believe it? Did you watch the game? Yeah, you got to give Doster credit because he said, you know, they still are alive. They could, you know, they could beat Michigan State, Michigan. They got Iowa and Purdue all at home. I was like, they're not beating anybody. That team's awful. And then they won. I couldn't believe it. I actually watched that game. What'd you think of that crowd at that party in Vegas? 7,000 people.
Very large crowd.
Very large. Very windy, though. Very windy and chilly.
Yes.
So you'll have those problems sometimes when there's – you can't control the weather. That's, you know, problematic. Anyway, I watched that game. Langford helped him in that game. I think Romeo Langford hit a go-ahead three in overtime, and the Hoosiers ended a seven-game skid. They're now 13-9, 4-7 to the Big Ten. Stopped their longest losing streak in 8 years. And there you go. Archie Miller said, this is the stage you want to be on when you come to Indiana. The way we practiced the last couple of days, the way we addressed the first half of the Big Ten season, I see we have a light at the end of the tunnel. We look like a different team. You're telling me. Miller is 29-24 in his second season with the Hoosiers. How is that possible? Okay, so he plays, what, 30 games a year or something like that, 34 games a year? Is that right? So maybe it is. 29-24, he's already played. How is that possible? Anyway, his two previous wins over ranked teams were against Notre Dame last year and Marquette in November. So the bottom line is he hasn't beat anybody. That's the biggest win of his time at Indiana. And then remember, the guy, Morgan, was out. He hurt his shoulder in the game. They didn't even play with him. He was in the game, and he got injured early in the first half, right, and left the game, and then somehow they won. It was unbelievable. Tony in Vancouver, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scotty.
Hey.
Nothing against CBS and the best radio people in the business, you, Ryder, Pendergrass. I couldn't watch the Super Bowl. This is the first time in 48 straight years I've watched the Super Bowl, from Super Bowl V when Jim O'Brien kicked a 32-yard field goal to beat Landry and the Cowboys. I couldn't watch it this year. The NFL didn't show me fairness and integrity. I'm not a Saints fan. I'm an NFL fan, but I had trouble. It was murder for me. I mean, a half a century of watching Super Bowls, I could not watch it this year. I don't want everything reviewed. There was no conspiracy. But the NFL has got to guarantee fairness and integrity in their sport.
So let me get this straight. So because of that call against the Saints, you stopped watching Super Bowls?
No, I just stopped watching this Super Bowl.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to watch football next year. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl again.
Will you watch the Alliance of American Football starting this Saturday on CBS?
Sure.
So there's it's a new pro league that's starting this Saturday. Yeah.
It's just what happened last week can't happen again.
It will happen again.
Well, it can't. If it does, then that's a problem.
They already have a problem. They already have a problem. It happened. It'll happen again. Are you telling me that there's not going to be bad calls ever again in the NFL?
No. And on that play, if there was hand fighting and the ref didn't throw it, I can agree. It's a judgment call.
Well, did you see?
If the guy inadvertently tripped over a guy, didn't call it, that's a judgment call. But what happened on that call was injustice.
So they had a big protest. They had, hundreds of thousands of fans show up at the Super Bowl and have like a million-man march or whatever. They had a huge protest, the Saints fans, at the Super Bowl. That also did not stop the game from happening. And the last time I checked, the Patriots beat the Rams in a horrible Super Bowl. So you didn't miss anything, Tony. You didn't miss anything. I hope you had fun watching reruns of NCIS. There you go.
I guess he wasn't alone either. I'm sure people didn't watch.
The ratings were bad.
The ratings were the lowest it's been in a while. I'm sure they were all because of the Saints not being in the Super Bowl.
No, it was
the
because the game
and
sucked.
Justice of the injustice of them not being in and the NFL not replaying the game. I'm sure that's what
how many people do you think turned it off at halftime and said, I'm done with this? Or do people go the distance? They go the distance, if you ask me.
It was what? It was 3-3 at halftime or
3-0? 3-0.
It was 3-0 at half. I mean, it's still a close game. The game was boring and a snooze fest, but it was still a one-score close game.
I thought that
the halftime show, that you probably turned off.
Listen, that was Femi to me, too. And I'll tell you what, I thought the commercials throughout the game were terrible. I mean, it was the whole night was bad.
I feel like that's been a trend the last couple of years, and now I guess they pay so much for the time to play the commercials that they don't spend money on the commercials, because so many of them you see that are like ones you've seen already or this terrible, this low-budget crap. I mean, the only ones I thought were good were like the T-Mobile ones with the text, the mess-up text, or like the Amazon one with your boy Harrison Ford with the dogs like ordering all this stuff. That's like the only ones I thought were really good commercials.
I thought the NFL 100-year one was
good. That was a great one, yeah. Before the halftime, that was a great one.
They had two good commercials, the Harrison Ford one with the dog and that one. That was it. That's it.
The real reason why they all suck now is because all of these companies are afraid of negative heat. On the internet, online, They're all afraid
to death
that if they put out a commercial that's maybe a little edgy or maybe a little crazy, they're not. They don't know if the millions and millions of people who jump to their Twitter 4 seconds after the commercial is
and
over
then destroy
is going to completely destroy you. That's why nobody goes out on a limb anymore. Everybody plays
there
it safe.
There you go, Dustin in Louisiana.
Yeah, man. Last night's game was god awful offensively. I got to respect the defensive side of the game. I thought Wade Phillips had an awesome game playing for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, even though it was a losing effort. I have an opinion. If Pittsburgh wants to start rebuilding back to old, if they want to get to that seventh ring and end the tie with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Wade Phillips has 1 year on his contract left. They need to buy that out and offer that man as much money as they could possibly give and get this show back on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you that he did an incredible job, and he always has. He's been a really good coordinator. He was the head coach once or something. They gave him the, in Dallas. I don't think
– and in Buffalo in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think he's a really good coach. It is what it is. I think the Steelers, obviously I don't think their defense is that good. Their secondary, their linebackers, I don't think were that good, to be honest with you. I thought they had a good pass rush. That was it. I think, obviously, the Bell thing hurt. Connor did a great job until he got hurt, and then they really didn't do anything ever again on the ground. Samuels did a decent job. I think that's what his name was. But never, it was never good. And, obviously, their receivers, Brown became a nightmare at the end of the season. You know, he didn't show up, and he was just crying and complaining. And then, so all year it was Bell that ruined the season, and then Brown put the nail in the coffin. They just didn't matter at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't want to hear it, how they're going to win Super Bowls. I've heard all I can take. You know, they're always going to win the Super Bowl every year, the Steelers, and then they never come close. How's that sound? I mean, it has been a while, right, since they legitimately came close after winning it the last time, right? What was it? So the last time they won it was with Holmes, right? The catch in the corner. They haven't come close since, if you ask me. They haven't sniffed it. They lost to Green Bay, and that's it. So they're done. They haven't done anything since. Let's face facts. Steve in Tucson.
Yeah, it seems to me like C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley, for whatever reason, which is what their offense is based on, running the ball to set up the pass. They couldn't run. Okay, so the team that finally got a little bit of offense going, which was the Patriots, they got two good runs and a couple of good passes and set up the touchdown. That's basically what the game came down to, was just a little bit of offense that could be generated.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have the number two offense, I think, in the whole league. If you ask me, they had a really good running attack always throughout the season, but they always threw the ball a lot and scored a lot of touchdowns. They were a high-scoring team, and you don't do that by just running the football. So I thought they threw the ball a lot, and they could not throw the ball against that press coverage. The Patriots secondary shut them down like no one's business. He never could throw the ball at all.
He also made horrible throws the whole entire game.
Horrible.
That should have been a touchdown to Cooks in the back of the end zone.
But it was
a
duck.
It
was a duck. 855-212-4CBS is the number to get on the bench. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.